My mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. Behold, thy king comes to thee, meek and mounted upon an ass, and a colt the son of her that is used to the yoke. Take a moment to recreate this scene in your mind. The Lord, Jesus, riding upon a colt the foal of an ass into ancient Jerusalem. He is not riding in a magnificent chariot. He is not arrayed in military attire mounted on a steed prepared for war. Instead, it says he comes meek and mounted upon an ass and a colt the son of her that is used to the yoke. This morning, we're going to dispel some misconceptions we may have about this scene, and we're going to see why this image, an image quite foreign from our experience, is so important. This scene is so important because it is a picture of how we can become part of the spiritual life of the church on earth. This is a picture of us when the natural man in us is serving the Lord, humbly, confidently serving the Lord. So in order to see how we can enter into the spiritual life of the church here on earth, let's take a closer look at this image of the Lord entering into Jerusalem. Riding upon an ass was actually the symbol of royalty in ancient times. Kings and judges of the Old Testament rode upon similar animals to demonstrate their inauguration into their new position. And the people knew what it meant. This representative act went back hundreds of years. The prophetess Deborah in the book of Judges sang in tribute to Israel's judges, saying, "My heart is toward the lawgivers of Israel, who were freely willing among the people. Bless ye, Yahuwah, bless ye who ride on white she-asses." And in the first book of Kings, to prove Solomon was king of Israel, David commanded that Solomon ride into Gihon upon King David's she-mule. The Lord's triumphal entrance into Jerusalem placed him in the minds of the crowds in the same position as these judges of old, and as King Solomon. And the animal that carried Jesus into Jerusalem was not the often disparaged donkey of today's day and age, but rather a valuable, stately animal dependent upon for daily life in the ancient world. It was used to plow fields and transport both people and goods. It was the hard-working and dependable beast of burden that carried kings and judges into their new role, not the irritable and stubborn animal we may picture today. Riding one of these animals in a procession into the city signaled to the people the new status of its rider. But its spiritual significance was the real reason this practice was originally adopted. The Lord teaches us in the Arcana Celestia that to ride upon an ass was a sign that the natural was made subordinate, and to ride upon a colt, the son of a she-ass, was a sign that the rational was made subordinate. So even in an ancient world, on the brink of spiritual extinction, there was still a lingering acknowledgement that the act of riding into Jerusalem on an ass was important and indicative of royalty. They just didn't know exactly why. The knowledge of the correspondence had been lost, but the import of such an event continued. However, today, because the Lord has explained it to us in his second coming, we can now see the spiritual significance of this act. And with this knowledge, we can also enter into the spiritual Jerusalem, riding upon an ass and the son of the she-ass with the Lord right there with us. So let's take a look into what the natural and rational represented by these animals are, and how subordination of them is a good thing. While subordinating anything in us may not sound pleasant, we will find that there is actually nothing that will bring us greater happiness than subordinating the natural and the rational parts of us to the Lord. The natural man in us is the external part of us. The part of us we all see in each other. It is the part of us that we can know. It is the part of us that gets hungry, thirsty, and cold. But it is also the part of us that thinks, speaks, and acts. And the rational man is the part of our mind that can look up toward the Lord in heaven or look back down toward ourselves in the world. When we use our rational minds to look to the Lord and act from His word, the natural man will serve Him. But if we use our rational minds to instead justify selfish desires and confirm false ideas, then the hells will rule us through our natural man. There was both an ass and a colt, and her colt in the Palm Sunday story to demonstrate that in the Lord, both the natural and rational part of Him were subordinate to what was spiritual. In fact, the Lord on earth perfectly subordinated first His rational as it developed, and then perfectly subordinated His natural. This process was, of course, the process of glorification, completely putting off what He got from Mary and making His human divine. Now, we aren't going to subordinate our natural and rational perfectly like the Lord did, but the Lord did give us this image of riding into Jerusalem to show us that we can do it. So let's take a look at how we can do it. The Lord explains to us that the only thing that can make the natural subordinate and reduce it to correspondence with what is spiritual is the good in which there is innocence. Which good in the word is called charity. To get an idea of what the natural man in us can look like when it operates without charity, the Lord offers us the image of the wild ass, in stark contrast to the useful beasts of burden that carried the Lord into Jerusalem. In the word, the wild ass does not signify a rational mind subordinated to the Lord, but a rational mind devoid of goodness that lets the natural man rule. This insubordinate rational mind takes whatever truths it knows, and as the Lord puts it in the Arcana, it will bear nothing, is against all, regards everybody as being in falsity, is ready to rebuke, to chastise, and to punish, and has no pity, and does not apply or adapt himself to others in study to bend their minds, for he looks at everything from truth and at nothing from good. This type of thinking, left unchecked, falsifies the truths of the word and destroys the church, because it is a state of faith alone, faith without charity. Now, this is a state personified in our modern notions of a donkey, an obstinate, ill-tempered animal, an animal not easily led. The wild ass, the rational mind separate from goodness, does not bend the natural man to serve the Lord, and is not the animal the Lord rode into Jerusalem. As the Lord explains in the Arcana, so long as the truth alone which is of faith predominates with the man, and not the good which is of charity, so long the natural or external man has not been made submissive to the spiritual or internal man. But as soon as good has the dominion, the natural or external man submits himself, and then the man becomes a spiritual church. When good has dominion in more and more areas of our life, the Lord explains that this subjugation comes to be among the man's pleasures. And then the natural is at rest, and afterward is in agreement. And when it is in agreement, it then partakes of the pleasantness of the internal. So, doing the goods of charity, then, is the key to subordinating the natural man, and this even becomes pleasant. But the goods of charity may not be what we think. The Lord teaches in the doctrine of charity, the first of charity is to look to the Lord and shun evils because they are sins. And the second of charity is to do its goods. The evil, equally with the good, can do good. The evil can assist another, can do him many good services from goodwill, from kindness, from friendship, from compassion. These, however, are not charity, the number continues, with him who does them, but with him to whom they are done. So in order to actually be doing the goods of charity that subordinate the natural man to the Lord, we need to shun evils as sins. And fleeing from evil is the function of the rational man. Let's look at some specific examples of this that the Lord gives us regarding our daily work. He says in the doctrine of charity, that every worker who looks to the Lord and shuns evils as sins shuns idleness, because it is of the devil's pillow, shuns insincerity and fraud, and shuns extravagance and intemperance. He is industrious, sincere, sober, content with his lot, and works for his neighbor as he would for himself, because in doing his work, he loves himself and his neighbor in equal degree. When we do our jobs this way, the natural man in us is serving the Lord as a result of our rational decisions to flee from evil. Just like the animals that carried the Lord, that served the Lord by carrying him into Jerusalem. Shunning idleness, insincerity, and fraud is a rational process that invites the Lord in to help us to train that natural man to serve him and not ourselves above others. We can also subordinate the natural man as parents, and even more generally in any friendship or acquaintance we have. In conjugal love, the Lord teaches us that natural parents close the eyes to their children's faults by excusing and favoring them, while spiritual parents love their children according to their fear of God and actual piety or piety of life, and at the same time, according to their affection for and application to uses serviceable to society, that is, according to the virtues and good morals with them. This passage also teaches that the love of natural parents for their children is tied directly to the love of themselves. On the other hand, spiritual parenthood means looking toward heaven for one's children. It means loving the good in them, rather than succumbing to the temptation to excuse or even promote behavior that might inflame parents' love of themselves, but put a heavenly future for their children in jeopardy. More generally speaking, this is the idea that looking for the good in others and supporting and loving that is another way we can subordinate the natural man in us and serve the Lord. This is not true only in how we love children, but in how we love every human being we meet. Charity can only be done to the good in our neighbor. Encouraging or enabling evil is not charitable at all, whether it is with a child or an adult friend. Now, we need to keep in mind that subordinating the natural man does not happen all at once. It is a process that occurs over the course of our entire life. Little by little, the Lord helps us look to Him in new ways that help us flee from evil. Then, we can serve Him in new ways by doing goods we didn't even see before. But this is also a process that may not be as hard as we sometimes think. Take this statement from the Lord in Heaven and Hell, for example. That it is not so difficult to live the life of heaven as some believe can now be seen from this. That when anything presents itself to a man that he knows to be dishonest and unjust, but to which his mind is born, it is simply necessary for him to think that it ought not be done because it is opposed to the divine precepts. If a man accustoms himself so to think, and from so doing establishes a habit of so thinking, he is gradually conjoined to heaven. Remember, when we serve the Lord and not ourselves and even the externals of our life, this subjugation of the natural man comes to be among the man's pleasures. And then the natural is at rest, and afterward is in agreement. And when it is in agreement, it then partakes of the pleasantness of the internal. So as we picture the Lord riding into Jerusalem, we can also picture him speaking to the natural man in each one of us, saying as he did in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. And now to the one and only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.